Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Coming up on the program, Anna Mateo and Mario Ritter Jr. have a story on Ukrainian soldiers being treated for mental health problems. It is a growing issue for an army facing fatigue as they fight the larger Russian army. Brian Lynn brings us this week's science report on a Saturn moon that holds material important to the early development of life. Later, Jill Robbins and Andrew Smith present the lesson of the day. But first,
mental health expert Ulf Hukowski recently stood in a temporary classroom in eastern Ukraine, speaking to a group of soldiers. They were attending a class on how to deal with the stress of war. Hukowski is one of hundreds of professionals and volunteers across Ukraine treating soldiers for mental health problems. It is a growing issue for an army facing fatigue as soldiers fight a larger enemy.
Reuters news agency spoke to 13 people involved in supporting troops and 4 soldiers undergoing treatment. The treatment can last for a few days to several weeks in more serious cases. It also includes soldiers who have lost arms or legs and who are learning to live with their injuries. Soldiers spoke of stress, anxiety, fear, guilt, and being extremely tired. But they also spoke of friendship, a sense of obligation to hurry back to their units, and a strong desire to repel the enemy.
Hukowski is one of the soldiers Reuters spoke to. He is a former psychiatrist. He joined the armed forces about 6 months after Russia launched an invasion in February 2022. Now he runs a mental health support group attached to the 67th Separate Mechanized Brigade. The brigade is in the area of Leman, a town heavily damaged by the war. They have obligations and have to return to the front line, Hukowski said of the troops. Some of the soldiers are being treated for light wounds and battle stress at a medical aid center. Hukowski said Ukrainian soldiers were not given enough breaks from fighting.
45 days is a critical period when soldiers can stay and have a chance to stay mentally healthy, he said. He added that in some situations they might remain in battle longer. When that happens, they experience more head injuries and more battle fatigue. Many of those fighting joined as volunteers. They had little, if any, preparation for sometimes fierce combat conditions. The soldiers attending the class answer questions and suggestions. However, Hukowski knows there are limitations. Soon, the soldiers will have to return to fighting.
Ukraine has an army of mobilized citizens who just yesterday were teachers, artists, poets, IT specialists, or workers, said Dana Vinohadova. He is deputy brigade commander for mental health support. DJ attended Hukowski's class last month. Before the war, he was a factory worker from central Ukraine. Like most other soldiers, he goes by his call sign, DJ.
I have nightmares and they exhaust me. When I get some time to rest, I don't sleep at all, DJ told the group. Later, the 50-year-old explained that he was not prepared for the fierce combat. DJ said his position near the front line was under continuous attack by Russian forces. Like others, he said he suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, and a concussion.
On a rainy November day in a nearby village, Dmitro, a 24-year-old soldier, talks with his unit's stress control group leader. He is a man named Zerhi Rostikov. The Russians occupied the village in 2022. The two men walk and talk among damaged houses. Rostikov said soldiers decide for themselves whether to seek mental health support. However, other specialists said unit commanders could make recommendations if they see signs for concern.
After the artillery shelling, I developed a fear of going back to combat positions, said Dmitro. He is with the 21st Separate Mechanized Brigade. He told Reuters that he reached out to his former group leader, Rostikov, for help. After working together, Rostikov sent Dmitro to rehabilitation. Dmitro said, I have no fear now and can easily go back to a combat position. I think we need psychologists because soldiers suffer from a lot of stress.
Many soldiers who seek psychological support return to battle after short breaks. Some more serious cases are sent away from the front for more treatment. DJ later said he had been kept away from combat for further treatment. Dmitro has rejoined his unit. The Ukrainian military has tried to recruit more people for psychological support. Ukraine's armed forces declined to answer questions about efforts to get support workers. It also did not release how many soldiers had been treated for psychological conditions since the start of the invasion. Such details are often treated as military secrets. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr.
NASA has discovered new evidence that Saturn's moon Enceladus holds material that is important to the early development of life. The American Space Agency said the new evidence came from observations made by its Cassini spacecraft. Cassini spent 7 years observing seasonal changes around Saturn. During that time, the spacecraft also collected data on Saturn's moons. Two of Cassini's discoveries involved Saturn's moons Titan and Enceladus. In its observations of Titan, the spacecraft studied the moon's climate activity and recorded data on rivers, lakes, and oceans. Cassini also found evidence of several Earth-like qualities of Titan that could support life. Another Cassini discovery involved the observation of hydrogen molecules in ice particles and vapor shooting upward from the moon's surface. Researchers announced that finding in 2017, the same year Cassini officially ended its mission. In announcing that discovery, NASA scientists said the presence of hydrogen molecules could signal deep-sea chemical reactions between water and rock that could create microbial life. Now the space agency is sharing a new finding that supports the earlier discoveries. Scientists examining Cassini data said they identified strong confirmation of the presence of another molecule seen as important for enabling life. Evidence of the molecule, hydrogen cyanide, was found in data relating to the same shooting flows of ice and water vapor observed by Cassini on Enceladus. The team used data collected by an instrument aboard Cassini designed to measure the activity of gas, ions, and ice particles around Saturn. The discovery process involved a lot of mathematics aiming to understand the newly examined data. The new evidence is described in a study in Nature Astronomy by scientists from NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, JPL, in California. The lead writer of the study, Jonah Peter, is currently a doctoral student at Harvard University. He called the discovery of hydrogen cyanide particularly exciting, saying the molecule is the starting point for most theories on the origin of life. NASA said in a statement that for life to exist in space, there must be collections of the right building blocks. One of the most important of these is amino acids. Hydrogen cyanide is one of the most important and versatile molecules needed to form amino acids, NASA noted. The researchers said hydrogen cyanide molecules can join together in many different combinations. They can also serve as a precursor for different kinds of amino acids. In addition, the latest examination of Cassini data suggested the underground ocean on Enceladus holds a powerful source of chemical energy. The ocean sits beneath the moon's icy surface. Unidentified until now, the energy source is in the form of several organic compounds, some of which on Earth serve as fuel for organisms, NASA said. Astronomers involved in the research said the discovery provides fresh evidence that there may be more chemical energy inside Enceladus than previously thought. The more energy that is available, the team said, the more likely it is that life can form and survive. Not only does Enceladus seem to meet the basic requirements for habitability, said JPL's Jonah Peter, we now have an idea about how complex biomolecules could form there and what sort of chemical pathways might be involved. The search for possible life on Titan will continue when NASA launches its Dragonfly exploratory mission in 2026. Dragonfly is a drone or pilotless aircraft. The vehicle is designed to capture images and also land on Titan to collect data. Tom Nordheim is a planetary scientist at JPL who helped lead the research. He noted that although NASA purposely sent the spacecraft crashing into Saturn's atmosphere to end its service, Cassini is still proving to be a valuable research tool. Our study demonstrates that while Cassini's mission has ended, its observations continue to provide us with new insights about Saturn and its moons, Nordheim said. I'm Brian Lynn.
Brian Lynn joins me now to talk more about his science report. Thanks for being here, Brian.
Of course, Dan. Thanks for having me.
This week, you explored research by NASA on one of Saturn's moons. A new study provides evidence the moon holds material important to support life. As the report mentions, the latest discovery adds to evidence already collected in the past, right?
Yes, that's right. One of those previous discoveries was announced in 2017 when data from NASA's Cassini spacecraft suggested the presence of hydrogen molecules in ice and vapor shooting up from the surface of the moon, Enceladus. And in the latest study, data showed evidence of another molecule in the same ice and vapor. This time, scientists identified hydrogen cyanide, which is considered an important building block for life.
The story also points out that the Cassini spacecraft ended its service in 2017. Does NASA have any plans to send additional spacecraft to Saturn's moons to continue this research?
So, yes, as mentioned, Cassini was orbiting around Saturn for about 7 years, collecting data not only on the planet, but some moons as well. And even though this data was years old, it was still examined today with the help of newer technology tools. So this could certainly happen again with additional studies. NASA does, however, plan on launching a new spacecraft called Dragonfly to Saturn's moon Titan. So far, though, it has not suggested Dragonfly will also explore Enceladus. And that mission is still a ways off, with NASA's launch date set for 2026, with the spacecraft then expected to arrive at Titan in 2034.
All right. Thanks again for being here, Brian.
You're welcome. Thank you, Dan.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Is Anna Mateo.
My name is Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
You're listening to The Lesson of the Day on the Learning English Podcast. Welcome to the part of the show where we help you do more with our video series, Let's Learn English. This series shows Anna Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C.
Lesson 51 of the series is called A Good Habit. Today, we're going to talk about habits and about fitness.
A habit is something you do on a regular basis. On a regular basis means something that you do or that happens repeatedly and frequently.
For example, if you brush your teeth every day, you do that on a regular basis. So that means it is a habit.
And fitness is a noun. It means the state of having a strong and healthy body that can do a lot of exercise.
And the word fit is the adjective form of fitness. To be fit, you need to exercise on a regular basis.
And the expression to be in shape means the same thing as to be fit.
Over the last 50 years, running has become a popular way for people to stay fit or get in shape. And a big goal for many runners is to run a marathon. In Lesson 51, Anna thinks she can run a marathon too. Let's listen.
D.C. is a popular city for marathons. A marathon is a long race. Many marathons raise money for charities. You know, good works. A marathon is a good fitness goal, too. I want to challenge myself in a marathon and maybe win a medal. Hey, there's Ashley. Ashley, wait for me. It's Anna. Ashley. 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 Ashley.
Are you okay, Anna?
I just ran from over there. Woo! Running is really, really hard.
Do you want to sit down, Anna? Do you want some water? Woo!
No, thanks.
You keep it.
Thanks. I didn't know you liked to run.
I love running. In fact, this weekend, I will run in my first marathon.
Me too.
Really? You are running in a marathon?
Yeah, in a couple of days. Why do you ask like that?
What do you know about running in a marathon?
I know that there's a lot of running. And sometimes you can win a medal.
And how long have you been training?
I started today. I've been training for an hour and 7 minutes.
Anna has only been training for about an hour. But to run a marathon, most people need to train for at least a few months.
Or a year. To train or to get in shape is an activity that takes place over a period of time. That's why Ashley and Anna used the present perfect continuous tense.
And how long have you been training?
I started today. I've been training for an hour.
Let's talk a bit more about marathons. The word marathon comes from a town in Greece named Marathon. According to tradition, a Greek runner named Pheidippides ran from Marathon to the city of Athens to deliver some important news.
The news was that the Greek military had defeated the powerful Persian military at the Battle of Marathon, and the distance from Marathon to Athens was about 40 kilometers. After the marathon was added to the modern Olympic sports competition, the official distance of the race became just over 42 kilometers.
And speaking of the modern event, in 2023, a 23-year-old man from Kenya named Kelvin Kiptum set a new world record for the fastest marathon ever run. He ran the Chicago Marathon in a time of 2 hours and 35 seconds.
Whoa. I read that the average time for most people is around 4.5 hours. So that means Kiptum was running more than twice as fast as the average runner. Many people wonder if anyone will ever be able to finish a marathon in under 2 hours.
Well, Kiptum is getting pretty close.
Now let's get back to Anna. She has made the mistake of underestimating how long it takes to train for a marathon.
To estimate is to make a guess about something. And to underestimate means to guess an amount that is too small.
And how long have you been training?
I started today. I've been training for an hour and 7 minutes.
Anna, training a little every day is a good habit to get into, not all at once.
Her friend Ashley is right. To get fit, you need to get into the habit of exercising.
To get into the habit of doing something means to start doing something on a regular basis. And to develop a good habit, it sometimes helps to have a goal. Jill, do you have any fitness goals or things you want to get into the habit of doing?
I swim regularly. I try to swim at least 3 times a week. And every day I do yoga and walk about 3 miles with my dog. How about you, Andrew?
Right now, I think my problem is that I don't have a specific fitness goal. But I do exercise on a regular basis. But you know what? I have a friend who says I don't drink enough water. So maybe I can just get into the habit of drinking more water.
Well, anyway, I think drinking water should be an easy habit to get into. I've been reading a book lately about the habits of successful people. One of them is to start with the end in mind or have a goal, which is good for language learning too. For example, you could say, I want to get in the habit of listening to English at least 30 minutes a day with the Voice of America Learning English podcast. And Andrew, your goal is to get in the habit of drinking enough water. Listeners, did you notice that if we say the habit of, we use the ing form of the verb after it?
For example, we say the habit of drinking more water, the habit of exercising, the habit of reading, the habit of walking, and so on. After the preposition of, just remember to use the ing form.
Anna is not in the habit of running, so she is definitely not going to be able to finish a marathon. But luckily for her, the race she wants to run in is only for children.
I'm here to enter the race.
But ma'am, you can't enter the race.
What? How am I going to meet my goal?
Ma'am, this race is for children. You can't run with the children.
Children? Children? That's perfect. I just might win.
No, ma'am, you really can't run with the children.
I'm sorry, of course. I was only thinking of my goal.
Well, you could help us with our goal, which is to raise money for sick children. Would you like to help us?
Anna gets a new goal, to help the race raise money for sick children. At the end of the video, she helps the children and tells them they have done a good job.
I've just found my new goal, and I get to wear a medal. Good job!
Do you have any fitness goals or new habits you want to get into? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com and let us know.
And remember, you can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. Thanks for listening. I'm Andrew Smith.
And I'm Dr. Jill.
That's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.